Welcome to Subtle Beast, everybody. I am your host, Foltz, sitting here with my partner in crime and co-host, Mr. Steve Apostolopoulos. How are you, brother?
I'm good. Welcome. Welcome to the show, everyone. I want to do this because, you know, Foltz always gives me such a great introduction. I would like, ladies and gentlemen, to introduce my co-host and subtle beast, Matt Foltz.
Hello, everybody. Thank you. I'm really happy to be here in Studio 1B, getting ready to put out the production of a lifetime. We are going to have a lot of fun tonight. And so just sit back, relax. If you're on a drive somewhere, kind of maybe just close your eyes and just enjoy what we have in store for you tonight.
It's going to be great. I can't wait. I'm so excited. I love doing the show. I love being here with Subtle Beast. I get so excited that it's hard to contain myself.
Yeah, I'm rip-roaring ready to go. I just got back from a nice relaxing vacation at the beach. We had an amazing time, eating tons of seafood, going jet skiing.
Dude, how was the jet skis?
Jet skis were great. I always go to the same spot every year because every year at the end of the season, they sell their jet skis that they use. So at the beginning of the season, they got brand new ones. So these jet skis were in pristine condition, really fast. They take you out into the bay, and before you get out there for your open free time, you go past Assateague Island, and you get to see the horses from the water.
Oh, my gosh.
Great time. Great place. It's all the way down at the end of Ocean City, past the boardwalk, and they're right on Bayside. Check them out if you're an OCMD.
Down in the inlet, there's a hotel there called Atlantic. I always wanted to stay in it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's you're driving, like, if you're going into park at the end of the inlet parking, there's that last hotel on the right hand side, right at the tip of the peninsula.
Yeah, it's a motel.
Yeah, little motel, but it still looks so cool, and it's right in the
and they're great because they allow the people that come to Inlet Sea-Doos, which is the name, you can park there for when you're on your ride. So
that's cool.
Yeah, so the Atlantic Motel and Inlet Sea-Doos. Great people, great time, loved it.
Shout outs to the Atlantic.
So
excellent.
What have you been doing since I seen you last? It's been a while.
Yeah, let's see. We had the boys. That was nice.
Oh, awesome.
Always nice to see them. They're all done with school. I'm very proud of them.
Good.
My little one's getting bigger, man.
Oh, I bet, man. They grow every day.
I tell you, the way he talks now just floors me. It's amazing. He's going to be 3 here at the end of the summer.
Yeah, I had to laugh a few weeks back when we were sitting here getting ready for pre-show and your phone was going off every couple seconds, literally. Steve's son figured out how to FaceTime his dad, and
yeah,
we just started having fun with it. We just started answering it and talking to him. It was awesome.
Yeah, we set it up originally to communicate with him while we were in Vegas, and it didn't sink in by then. Like, he didn't know enough to do it at any given moment, and we had to call through to Graham and let her know that we were going to FaceTime so she could answer it. But apparently since then it's become second nature to him, so he's FaceTiming me a lot now.
That's great. Just what a wonderful way to stay in touch with your kid. I know when my kids were smaller, we didn't have anything like that, but that's great. I love it.
Well, I have a mount in my car, so on my way home I can put my phone and my mount, and he can literally just sit there and look at me and talk to me, and I can talk back to him while he's laying down in his crib and watching his videos. I have such a great time with that. I'm so glad that you got to experience that with me. That was really fun.
That was a good time. Oh, and speaking of enjoying videos, when we were down at the beach one night after we came in from being on the boardwalk, we decided to just sit down as a family and watch a good movie, and I came across one that I'd seen when I was really young, so I knew my kids would like it. I knew my wife would like it. Harry and the Hendersons. Remember that one?
Oh, yeah, I do remember that one.
Great movie about Bigfoot and Bigfoot living with a suburban family. And
yes, the trials and tribulations, man.
Yeah, and then they had the Sasquatch hunter constantly looking for him, so they were trying to keep him safe and all that, and it was just great. I mean, the movie came out in the 80s, so, but I'll still preface by spoiler alert, I just love the part at the end when he finally goes back to the woods, and he turns around and walks away, and what you thought were like trees and bushes and rocks in the background actually turned out to be lots and lots of other Sasquatches, female, male, and then a little baby comes running up at the end. I just think that's so great. So seeing that movie got me in the mood with Bigfoot. So I started communicating with Steve and saying, hey, what do you think about a Bigfoot episode for Subtle Beast?
And I love it. The Bigfoot sightings and videos and everything that's out there, it rings true for me. I think that there could be a community of Bigfoots in a lot of different places. I think there could be one really close to us here in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, I used to go to this group, and I haven't been in quite a while, but it was on Wednesday nights in our local area. We would go, and there was a team of people, and we'd sit around and talk about like extraterrestrials and UFOs and sightings of that nature. But the guy that led the group up, he was also really into Bigfoot, and he had claimed that he had seen one, and that he actually was able to locate the footprint. And he brought in the footprint that I guess he had poured some cement over and made a cast out of it and brought it in. And it was really neat. And him and this other guy were really into it. And they're talking about a place right by here. They were talking about it when they were shopping one night right before the UFO meeting. And a lady said, are you guys talking about Bigfoot? And they said, yeah. And she said, funny enough, this was just some random lady overheard him. And she said, a couple nights ago, I was driving down this winding road right by where we live in this area, and she said this big hairy creature ran out from the trees into the street. She slammed on her brakes. She said it stopped for a second, looked, and then ran back into the bushes. And of course, when she told them this to these guys, they started taking down the information where they had seen it, and they were trying to see if they could track this Sasquatch Bigfoot.
Right. Put the forensics together, get a lead on where it could be, get some tracks.
Yeah, I had volunteered at one of the meetings. I said, well, look, I said, let's go to one of these hot spots. Let's set up a tent and this and that. This guy, no disrespect, he was a little cowardly because he was like, well, I don't know about camping out where the Sasquatches are, you know, this and that. And I was like, well, you know, I got firearms and stuff. We'll be safe if this creature decides to attack us. But he didn't want to do it. He believed in Bigfoot so much that there was no way he was going to spend the night out where he thought there was one going to be. I was all for it.
I don't think a Squatch would come anywhere near you guys if you were out.
I don't think so either.
I've camped out, and it's not quiet. Like it's not like when you and I are hunting.
Right,
We let the forest settle around us and kind of like mold into our blind, and you know, the squirrels run by and everything moves on.
Yeah.
But when you're camping at night, it's not that way.
No, especially when you and I were camping with my sons a couple years ago before hunting season.
That was great.
Raging fire. It was just,
We went down to get artificial logs.
Yeah.
Just to make them burn longer.
It turned out to be like Yankee Candle logs. And of course, they were like evergreen. Pine. We were so surrounded by evergreen trees. But it was a good time. But so yeah, I'm excited about talking about Bigfoot. It's really exciting. I am a believer. I don't have any. I haven't done a whole lot of research on it, other than a couple documentaries here and there, and doing my homework for this episode. So I can't say for sure how many I think that are out there. But from what I have found is that it's not just local to the United States. They're all over the world. But I'm going to let Steve kick it off here with some Bigfoot facts.
Okay, so here we go with Bigfoot facts. While many Bigfoot statistics can be brushed aside as merely hypothetical, some facts rise above the rest as undisputed. Hard truth. Now, all of our data has been researched, so we're going to post these as eyewitness stories, you know, large or small, conservative or outrageous, without doing due diligence to make sure the evidence adds up with some documented sources. We're researchers, not wild-eyed conspiracy theorist psychos. So adult Bigfoots or Sasquatches, their physical statistics would be that they are roughly 6.5 feet to 10 feet tall, which is 2 to 3 meters.
Wow, that's big.
Their weight is between 400 and 1,000 pounds.
Wow.
Their footprint can be up to 22 inches long, 5 to 11 inches wide.
Dang.
2 to 8 inches heel width.
Wow. And that coincides with this cast that this guy had brought into this meeting. I mean, right along those measurements, it seems like dead on. I wish that he had gotten maybe like a handprint or something, because their hands are known to be between 6 and 8.5 inches palm width, with really stubby fingers. Their hair color is like a darkish brown, almost like a reddish, definitely unkept and matted. I can imagine that it accumulates some dreadlocks probably at some point.
Probably.
Their skin is known to be black, brown, or tan, or a combination of all three. Their head is like a sagittal crest, if you will. Facial features are large brow with a ridge, flat black nose, thin human-like lips, and their eyes are usually either brown or red. I guess, you know, the color is probably most likely brown, but like when people see them at night, they shine a light, maybe they look red. And they supposedly have an odor, smells like Butch who lives under the bridge or something like that. But yeah, so I guess, but they even talked about that in Harry and the Hendersons. Like they would start sniffing the air and they'd be like, what's that odor? And they knew that that Harry was nearby.
Right. It's the odor precedes them.
Exactly. Exactly. Maybe we should go into some of our more interesting documentations, like where Bigfoot has been reported and documented for, you know, a couple hundred years.
Yeah, the Bigfoot has been recorded for a long time now. Their mating season is March through April. Grady Grange witnessed firsthand a couple of Bigfoot mating in the middle of March.
Wow, that would be an interesting picture to see. I guess to keep it clean, we're not going to read the full description here that we had written down. But if you can imagine any other wild animal on how they mate, that was the preferred style of the Bigfoot or Sasquatch. Now, Lady Grange was the name of the lady that made that report. But they went on to say that, like we read in the physical attributes, that brown isn't the only documented fur color. There have been reports of black, gray, white, and even greenish blue. I would tend to think that maybe the white is where they came up with like the abominable snowman. Maybe like in the northern or far southern regions, if you see a Sasquatch and it's all white, that would be like the abominable.
Yeah, the white one's got to be, well, the greenish blue one probably is very rare as well, but the black one I've seen video of. There was some Russian kids that were just tracking a set of tracks and had a cell phone, and as they were tracking the tracks, they kind of spooked it, and you could clearly see it turn away from them and run.
Wow.
And it was very close to where they were at.
That's crazy. And I guess also, if there would be a white one in, you know, in our area or places where it's warm, it could just be albino as well.
Yeah, there's Palomino trout around here.
Right.
And there's albino deer, so there's a bunch of albinos around here.
Right. Now, I've read that they're pretty fast. that they can run up to like 30 miles an hour.
Yeah, that seems to me like an outrageously fast creature.
Well, I mean, I guess if you think about how tall they are and their leg span when they're running, not only are they big creatures, but that, I mean, that leg span's got to definitely add some speed. So
it is rumored that they can jump the full length of their own body.
Oh, so wow. So if they're between 6 and 8 feet tall.
Yeah. Just when imagine.
They're just jumping.
A beast that can jump huge, like rocks at one leap, just jumping up almost 10 feet tall.
Man, if someone could catch one, shave one down, teach it to have some sort of manners, and put it into the Olympics, be the champions of the long jump.
Oh man, that would catch it and shave it down and look like Khloe Kardashian.
No. Indeed it would. It reminds me of the first time I came home with some groundhogs that I had shot, and my daughter was really small, and I was like, "All right guys, well, what do you think I should do with this?" My daughter said, "Let's shave it." I was like, "Do you know how hideous this thing would look shaved?"
That's what she wanted to do.
Yep. But let's see. I'm saying they documented in the Asian it was documented in Asian Pacific by Chung Li Fuki, noting the best leap an 8 to 10 foot river in one bound.
Dang.
That's pretty good. He must have been really hauling butt to away or towards something. That the beast leapt an 8 to 10 foot river in one bound. He was moving.
An 8 to 10 foot riverbed is a long jump.
Absolutely, it is. I mean, that's no creek.
No, I've tried to jump creeks that are only 3 or 4 feet wide, and I've had trouble with it.
Yeah, I've been there too. Yeah. So. We got a lot of different. And well, this goes back a ways. In the year 1765, England was attacked by three giants covered in animal fur. The documentation was lost 50 years ago when it was brought to the American ear. So, of course, somebody probably got their, hands on it, and it had been lost for a time, or it was suppressed from us. But
right, that's a... one of the oldest ones that I've seen.
Right.
I did see in 1965 that Bigfoot was officially put on the endangered species list in Russia.
Wow.
And in 1967, Germany and France followed suit.
So, I mean, if countries are fully backing this endangered species list to put Bigfoot on it, I mean, there had to be somebody in Russia, in Germany, France's, parliament or whatever that's similar to our Congress, that this was put to a vote, in a serious vote.
Well, yeah, I mean, by putting it on the endangered species list, that means it's illegal to kill them.
Sure it is.
So you have to be really careful when you're around it.
Yeah, because they have a quote unquote reality TV show right now where these guys are, I think it's called Tracking Bigfoot or Finding Bigfoot or something like that, where these guys are always just going out to try and capture all the best evidence that they can. And we were watching some clips of it, and these guys were listening really intently, and they were trying to throw out a mating call of one of these, and they were doing it, and a sound was coming back, and of course they were saying, "That's not a coyote. Coyotes don't go to that high pitched or something." It sort of sounded like this.
Yew! That's awesome. I love that.
And then they were getting that response back, and then it got quiet, and they were like wondering, "What is the Squatch coming?" Like, well, if it's coming answering your mating call, You better get running, because this thing can run 30 miles an hour and it can jump 10-foot riverbeds.
Yeah, you're not going to get away from it if it's coming.
No, not at all. It had been stated that in 1897 that bananas, nuts, and berries were fed to a captured Bigfoot in Brazil, and the Bigfoot ate all the food except the bananas and then escaped.
Yeah, they got one.
They got one. And what I think is interesting that is, you know, just because it resembles like a monkey or an ape, it wanted nothing to do with those bananas whatsoever.
Yeah, berries, no problem. Nuts, good on protein, but you can have the bananas back.
Yeah, which is odd because, I mean, being the fact that it was in Brazil and it lives in the wild, you would think that it would be a liker or a lover of all the wild fruits and berries and right, especially bananas.
Central and South America are known for the Chiquita bananas.
Sure is, sure is.
Did you know that Bigfoots are immune to pepper spray?
No, I did not know that.
It's true, and they have been known for not being capable of sneezing.
Interesting. So, if it gets in their eyes, it doesn't hurt them. And see, I wonder if they determined that because, you know, someone thought they were being attacked, hit them with the pepper spray, and that it just kept coming. So not only was it not blinded by it, it didn't have like any type of uncontrollable sneezing from the pepper and things of that nature.
Do you remember the pepper spray that they used to spray in school?
Oh yeah, yeah, oh, all gosh. Too well.
That was bad.
Yeah, and I can remember the little glass vials of sulfur.
Oh yeah, I remember those.
Yeah, I remember when I was a sophomore in high school, and I was like, "Hey, today I'm gonna break one of these out," and I did it. And there was a really big senior. I'm not gonna mention his name, but I remember walking by him later, and I guess that sulfur really didn't he didn't like that. And I remember him hearing him say, "Whoever did that, if I find out about it, they're dead." And I just remember being like, not telling anyone it was me.
Sorry, Gary.
Yeah. But, yeah, so that's interesting that they're immune to the pepper spray. On April 3rd, 1985, a small boy in Oregon was born and put on display due to being completely covered in hair.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so now, I don't necessarily know if that is if that was a Bigfoot or an offspring of a Bigfoot, but there are documented cases of I watched a documentary one time on like werewolves, and there were these boys I believe from South America somewhere, and both of them, I mean, they were brothers, but they were both born with hair from head to toe, I mean, on their cheeks and like their foreheads and everything, and everyone would stay away from these guys. I mean, in the documentary, they seemed nice as can be, but you know, the legend of the werewolf in that region, people did not like these boys. But you know, you feel bad for them. I mean, I guess you know maybe they could get sponsored by like Bic or something like that and get shaved down or something. I mean, there's got to be or electrolysis or something.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, it's funny until it happens to you.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's no laughing matter. But I'm just saying. I mean, they got the documentary. I mean, these kids could have profited off of their misfortune of being completely hairy.
I'm sure there has been a bunch of circus freaks.
Oh yeah,
over
yeah.
The years, like the
Dog Face Boy.
Right, Dog Face Boy, and the
Bearded Lady.
Yes, the Bearded Lady. Man.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you could probably make a good living just by being there.
Yeah, just be a freak. What you got, Steve?
Well, in 1919, Fred Jankit attacked and killed in Maine. Attacker unknown, but blamed on an 8-foot male individual with a disfigured ape-like face that was non-English speaking. The male individual didn't stop grunting until Fred's skull was shattered.
Dang.
He then retreated into the woods, and this was all told by Jim Jaboni, our Chili.
Wow. So I would assume that he was friends with Fred Jankit.
Yeah, but sounds like Fred got attacked by a squatch.
Yeah, and I wonder what he did to anger this beast, because you know, most wild animals will go out of their way to avoid the humans, especially because you know we don't have very many documented cases with pictures and or video of these. But
yeah, especially the whole way up in Maine, you'd think that they'd be all used to each other up there.
Yeah, and I mean, for this guy, for the legend of his life to be ended in such a way that, you know, the tale's told that, oh yeah, old Fred was killed by a Squatch.
Right.
I mean, man, his skull was shattered. I mean, there's something to this. Definitely is. In 1940, flags were raised in Arizona when a deer was brutally killed by a group of Mexican men. Translators say that the men were sacrificing the deer for a giant mono or ape they had seen while crossing the border. They said that the animal had been following them for 10 miles. Well, that was a pretty good tactic then. I mean, if they got ahead of it and has been following for 10 months, get this deer, hang it up.
Right. They were able to get a hold of something else to kind of just throw it off their tracks. Maybe the Squatch would eat the deer instead of tracking them. It kind of sounds like Bigfoots are almost like, not that they would go out of their way to attack you, but if you're in the woods, it doesn't sound like they're just going to turn around and run from you.
Right. I mean, I guess the woods are their home. I mean, if someone came into my house, you better believe they're going to be confronted. So if they were in the woods, I mean, because it doesn't go on to state what they were doing. So if they were in the woods and they were disrespecting the area, or if this Bigfoot had a youngster nearby, this thing is going to put, because I've seen doe, when people get too close to their fawns, they will charge you and they will attack you. I mean, my sons, we have a path near our house that leads to a local grocery store, and my sons and a friend of theirs were walking back there, and this doe came charging, and it was right like the end of May, beginning of June, when the fawns are out. So we knew there was one. I said, stop taking that trail. You're going to get jacked up. So that could have been the case with these guys. Who knows?
Yeah, they were definitely in the deep woods if they were crossing the border.
True.
From Mexico to the U.S.
Probably near the Rio Grande.
Right. So they were in Squatch territory.
Certainly were.
They were out there. And for that animal to be following, or for, you know, 10 miles, that they knew that they were getting followed.
Oh yeah. I mean, I'm sure with the leap that these creatures can make, and as fast as they go, even if he was a good distance behind them, they could hear it, and they were probably hauling butt.
Yeah, with 22 inch feet.
Yeah.
You're going to hear that thing coming.
Definitely.
In 2010, outside Boise, Idaho, new artifacts were found in multiple caves portraying a giant bear consistently walking on its hind legs like a man.
Wow. Now, I wonder, so it said artifacts, so this cave must have been done by, like, Native, or the pictures must have been done by, like, Native Americans, I assume.
Well, 2010.
It said in 2010, outside, new artifacts were found. So, yeah, I mean, if it was Native Americans that drew this, or... I mean, it has to...
Idaho is Indian territory. So.
Yeah, so, I mean, and back then, before there was any interference by any types of government and anything, you know, things aren't covered up. If anybody has seen craziness throughout time and throughout the world, it's got to be the Native Americans. Because they were just, you know, out there living off the land, doing whatever. See a Bigfoot, see a UFO, see whatever.
Yeah, there's probably been times where, you know, they're out in the woods and they're not, you know, they don't have a fire. They're just kind of curled up next to a rock or something in the darkness under the stars.
Right.
You probably see some things.
I'm sure you do, definitely. Now, this next case was in June of 2000. Bones found in Klamath, Oregon. The human remains would be that of the tallest man in the world. Laid out, the individual stood 9'6". The femur bone alone was measured 4'1".
Jeez, 4 foot femur bone.
That's huge. Now, you know, that could definitely be a Bigfoot, but I mean, if you look into, there's even cases where people say of extraterrestrials that used to roam the earth that were giants, and bones of those sizes were found too. So, but hey, it still goes into the category of the unknown. So it's definitely interesting.
Yeah, 9'6" is really tall.
Yeah, I mean, that bigger than Manute Bol.
Yeah, by far.
Yeah.
Yeah. You want to talk about the story from Bob Ramsey?
Sure, yeah. Now, on March 10th, 2015, like Steve said, a man from Keeling, Virginia named Bob Ramsey was standing outside on the back porch and smelled a very strong skunk slash rotting meat smell, then walked back off the porch and looked into the tree line, and there stood at least an 8 foot tall, brownish black in color, and had muscles like a bodybuilder. It looked at him. He froze for about 30 seconds, then growled, and it took off running, and it finally hit him that he had seen a squatch.
That's crazy.
That is crazy.
Well, I smelled the squatch first.
Yeah. So, man, I can honestly say I've never seen anything that looks like a squatch in the wild, but I have to say, I mean, from this guy's accounts, if you would see that, I mean, just off of your porch in the tree line, it just looking at you, that would be terrifying. Because, I mean, even if you're protected in your house with any type of weapon, this thing's going to get in and it's going to raise some havoc if it doesn't like you.
Well, the expert opinion on that one was that Bigfoot flexing its bodybuilder-like muscles is typically a sign of aggression in male Bigfoots.
Oh, that's interesting.
Right. So that one, yeah, that's not as far-fetched as you might think.
So he was perturbed then.
Yeah, he was at that tree line. He was checking Bob Ramsey out.
No doubt. Why don't you tell that story about the guy on the highway in Jersey?
Yeah, there was a guy somewhere on a highway in Jersey named Tyler, and this is back in March 15th of 2012. And he said, "I look outside from the car window. It's raining outside. All of a sudden, I see a big black figure in the tall weeds. It kept walking forward. I tried to get a picture of it, but I was traveling fast. I'd say it was about 7 feet tall."
Yeah, that would be one of those cases where you would definitely want to take a picture, but like you said, he was traveling so fast, but if you see something that looks like that, I don't think you're stopping your vehicle.
No, I mean, I can definitely, because I drive through the woods every night, I can definitely understand where you wouldn't be able to grab your phone and take a picture. If you saw it, you could see it and look at it for a few seconds,
right,
and still not be able to get a picture off.
Yeah, that would be...
especially in 2012.
That's true, too, because the cameras aren't what they are now. There was a person that only is going by the name of L. Law Nikki. A lot of these are taking place in March, so spring must be the time where you can spot these. March 4th, 2016, so not too long ago, outside of Gold Beach, Oregon, this person states, "My dog ran out of my house barking at some rustling in the bushes. I didn't think much of it, but then my dog stopped barking. I run out, see something two heads higher than me running into the bushes with black fur. It was running like a man. I chase after it, but it jumped across the creek outside my house and got away. Sadly, this guy hasn't seen his dog since."
Oh.
I think Scrappy was lunch or a late night supper for this thing.
That's tough.
That is tough, but I mean, if you're thinking of a Sasquatch as living in the wild as a wild beast and this dog's barking at him, he's just like, "Who do you think you are? You little tough guy. I'll eat you." And he did.
Yeah, he doesn't know any better. He doesn't know that dog's domesticated.
No. This next one's close to home.
Yeah, I'll tell you about one from Mifflinburg, Pennsylvania. Just recently, on February 21st of 2016, a guy named Mason, could have been a boy named Mason, "I looked out of my deck in the middle of the night because I smelled something fishy, and I saw a tall figure facing away from me. I thought it was a robber, But when I came back with a gun, it was walking away. So I yelled at it. It turned back with a face far different from a human, almost like a monkey's face. And then it started running away.
I don't think you could blame him. I mean, you yell to him, he looks back to see what's going on, and he sees you with a firearm.
It seems like everything kind of knows what a gun is.
Yeah, I think so too. You know what? Matter of fact, a buddy of mine, he's got three dogs, and one of them was rescued from a home that it was abused in. And what they believe is that in this home that the guy used to terrorize the dog by pointing a firearm at him, because when he and I go hunting and we're getting ready to head out, if the dog sees us even with our guns and our sling over our shoulder, it starts shaking like crazy and goes and lays down, and it never does that unless it sees a firearm.
Oh, wow.
So, I mean, it definitely knows, and definitely knows that to be afraid of it. So let's see. We're going to go across the pond here to the United Kingdom. February 25th, 2016. The person has their name only listed as W. Gillespie. This person wrote, "Me and a friend were up hiking when we stopped in a woodland and we made a fire. After about 30 minutes, and then the forest went silent and a bird flew out of the tree and it became very, very eerie. So we went and threw a stick against the tree. We heard a howl like a woman screaming. So I whacked a stick against a tree and heard a loud roar from the forest behind us. Shortly after that, we saw a footprint about 19 inches long, and the foot was a lot wider, and it was extremely nerve-wracking."
Wow.
Big time. These guys were brave.
They started whacking sticks against trees.
Yeah, they weren't playing around. They're like, "Hey, you hear all that commotion over there? Let's go whack sticks against a tree until we see what it is."
Not to mention the fact that they were out in the woods on February 25th.
I know, they sound like us.
Yeah, it's cold on February
25th. Oh, big time. I don't even want to think of it.
You know, these are all pretty recent. This one is from February 20th of 2016. Right at Pike's Peak. Gentleman by the name of Kent. "I heard a twig snap as I was hiking, so I went over to the edge of a small cliff, and when I looked down to the tree line to see what looked like a bear on two legs, but this thing wasn't walking, and he was red. I only saw him for a few seconds, then he disappeared from sight into the trees. The only thing that matches this is a Bigfoot."
Right. Yeah, because the thing was walking.
Wasn't Harry red?
He was brown. He had a little bit of reddish in him too, yeah.
Yeah, I can imagine seeing a red one. That would be crazy.
That would be, yeah. I mean, that's when you think back to when I think of Bigfoot from my childhood, from like shows like Scooby-Doo, they always made him look like he had red hair versus like brown or anything like that.
Right.
Yeah. Let's see. We got a couple more here. Place called Henry County, July 21st, 2015. Shannon Merritt was feeding the chickens when she heard a hollow knock on something. Then about 5 minutes later, a strange creature runs right across the fields into the woods and then disappears.
That hollow knock, I think, is something that they do. Like, to communicate, they'll
right.
take a branch and strike it against the tree trunk, and that way it kind of echoes through the woods, and then you can also hear that from quite a distance away, and then if you hear one come back, you know, the knock, then they'll know that they're around each other.
Yeah, and maybe that was also a sign of, like, a cover my six. You know, there could be people around. I'm making a run for it. Look out for me.
Yeah, well, you know, there's a bunch of these sightings, and here's one I got from the Netherlands, a town called Hardenberg, And this one is just from February of 2016. Someone named Boss Dorn. I took my dog for a walk in our woods called the old Maher. Suddenly, my dog seemed to hear something, and he ran away. I tried to follow him, but when I saw from a distance was a huge 8 or 9 foot monster making grumpy sounds.
That's crazy.
I was so scared that I immediately went home. The last thing I could see was him climbing up a tree.
Whoa, that's cool.
Yeah, and we didn't hear anything about him climbing trees yet.
Yeah, so like it wasn't like mad. It sounded like a grumpy sound. So it sounded like maybe he was doing
That's definitely a grumpy sound.
Maybe it was maybe his female mate had just decided to hook up with a Sasquatch from on the other side of the Netherlands.
There was a much guy.
Climb this tree.
I'm just gonna sit on this limb. I'm gonna be angry.
Please rate us on our grumpy Sasquatch sounds. So yeah, so those were some of some testimonies from people throughout the world. I think we'll let's cover some like known whereabouts. Through Bigfoot, though Bigfoot sightings are rare, many have been documented over the years. We are constantly updating this map. Now, this came from a gentleman that likes to map out and keep track of all the people's different sightings, compiling all the best data and evidence in existence to provide us all with a solid starting point for our Bigfoot expedition. The first one starts off with a guy that goes, or gal, I'm not sure, RVK Sparrow, June 27th, 2015, location, United Kingdom. 2 days before, smelled a putrid stench that was like a lot of human feces.
Yeah.
It was centralized in one area of an ancient woodland. I had experiences in America, one really bad experience. I heard their calls this past winter almost in response to my thought question of them being there. I just sensed them having being rescued wildlife, sensing when they were in danger. So this guy seems like he's communicating with them telepathically or something.
I don't know. It seems like he could just sense them.
Yeah. Well, maybe he does have some type of sixth sense or something. And I don't know. The squatches are calling to him. The response was a strange melancholy sound. I did not feel fear, but direct sense of telepathy.
Wow.
Yeah. During the first week of July, I had gone into the woodlands again. This time, knowing that I had cerebral palsy all my life, I was with my husband at the time. So this is a lady. Yeah. I sensed its presence again, and I heard a faint wood knock. It does not want to hurt, but senses my worry about the other woodlands and my fear of them losing habitat. I think they are highly empathetic, and I was diagnosed by a psychologist at the neuro hospital at Queen's Square. He saw how I sense things with other patients. It's like the brain damage opened up something that is lost in others. I'm highly sensitive and can read thoughts almost before they are asked. So she's definitely like an empath. She can feel people's feelings and, finish their sentences. She goes on to say, however, something came to my attention about trees being bent over and weaved into other trees and like some kind of woven shelter. Once I get the evidence, you will have it, she stated. The woodland is 2.5 HA and there are other woodlands nearby. Our city is full of tunnels from the chalk mining. I'm curious if that is how they are traveling. I thought about it and possible caves that link these woodlands. I live in Norwich, but I'm not divulging which woodlands I'm referring to because everybody and then some would hunt it or hunt them to kill them for bounty. If we do manage to get close, I'm sure it will sense how ill we are. My fentanyl patch will be enough to put him off, as my meds are painkillers with Oramorph would put me off the menu. Besides, there have been some peaceful interaction between them and us. Bigfoot is a hominid with human and ape-like attributes. It does not make them monsters. The frightening experience I had as a child taught me that if it wanted to kill us, it could have. It walked around the caravan 3 times. It knew we were in there, and it was sensitive in Missouri, so why should there be anything different?
Wow, what a good story.
That was. I like that. That lady was in tune with the Squatch, I gotta say.
I hope that she can figure out how they're moving around and get close to them.
Yeah, she's got all kinds of their underground tunnel systems and
chalk mines and fentanyl patches.
She's out there feeling great.
She's just looking for a Sasquatch. Mm-hmm. Ain't nothing wrong with that.
Never. You want to talk a little bit about Mr. Mayhew?
I will talk about Mr. Mayhew. This one's from August 21st of 2014. A gentleman by the name of Spencer Mayhew from the Tort Forest in Western Australia. I was walking my dog in the Tort Forest, which is a popular attraction here in my town. I decided to go off the path, as I had walked along it many times in the past, and I was beginning to get bored of it. After about an hour and a half of walking off the path, I thought it best to go back, but I'd gotten lost. I walked around frantically looking for the path for about an hour, when I heard the crunching of bushes in a few meters away. At this stage, it was starting to get dark. I followed the sound because it could have been a person. There was a large tree with the words nephew carved into the trunk.
Ooh.
I heard footsteps coming from behind the tree, and I peeked around the large trunk and I saw what looked like a tall, naked, extremely hairy man walking at quite a quick pace. It was a while away from here where I was standing, so I didn't get a good look. My dog started to bark, and I panicked and picked him up, eventually ran off. Eventually, I managed to luckily find the path before dark. I haven't spoken of this sighting since, but I have decided to remain silent no more.
Very nice.
Yeah.
I wonder if that guy had heard the story about that other guy's dog and was like, yo, I better pick this dog up and then hightail it out of here.
If I want my dog to come home with me, I better take it with me.
Right. Let's see. We got here we got another one by a guy named Drew Hedges. April 20th, 2015. Location, Southern Ohio. We were in the woods of Southern Ohio, and we were walking through the woods building forts and heard something big walking closer. And we yelled at it. And then the thing started throwing sticks, so we ran. The Squatch was like, get out of here. What are you
going to yell me?
And if you're building a fort, you better build it a little bigger. I want to get in that sucker.
Hey, you guys get out of here. I'm taking that fort.
No doubt. Who could blame him?
Oh, that's funny, man.
I know. I like it.
I like the Midwest and the Ohio stories. It seems like America is a great place to see Bigfoots.
Yeah, we're going to have to add that to the list of our travels, I think.
Well, the list is growing and growing.
It is.
I got one here from Caleb Sparks.
All right.
March 16th of 2015 from Bradshaw, West Virginia.
Yeehaw.
I was with my family on the mountain waiting for friends. I started to do some tree knocks and howls. I was surprised they responded. Later that night, I spotted them. We started to record. My father has the footage with them. We started to pursue him or her, and we heard other howls coming from different directions. On the way back home, we heard him howling, and it scared us. For the rest of the night, leaving us frightened.
Definitely. I mean, that would be scary. I mean, like, because if you're throwing out howls, and then you start hearing howls from all around, and then you kind of feeling surrounded, you don't know. Because, I mean, if that's the mating call, and they come and answer it.
Right. They're probably going to want to mate.
Yeah. We'll just leave it at that. This one This one's called The Bigfoot Sighting on Mount Hood.
Ooh.
I live in Portland, Oregon, and I'm an avid snowboarder, and I'm always looking for untouched terrain on my snowmobile. One of my favorite places to ride is Mount Hood. Late in January of this year, I was out exploring with my buddy Travis, looking for features to ride and do a bit of filming. It was snowing pretty hard and tragically cold. We were off the beaten path, as always, probably a few miles northeast of Heather Canyon. Mount Hood Meadow riders will know it when it happened. Travis had rode uphill a ways while I stayed back to catch a break after a nasty spill. It was pretty quiet, and I was enjoying the silence when all of a sudden I heard a few tree limbs snap. At first, I attributed it to the weight of the snow on the branches, with the weight finally snapping them in the cold, when I heard a few more, a bit louder this time. They were coming from the direction that Travis went uphill. My first thought was it was him riding down through the trees, and when he was getting closer, they were getting louder. I expected him to pop out any second when something did pop out of the trees. I couldn't believe my eyes. It was tall, maybe 7 or 8 feet, maybe 450 pounds, with reddish-brown hair, moving at incredible speed. It almost immediately saw me, made eye contact, and darted back into the heavy brush. The thing I remember most was his dark eyes. They had a look, but not fear, but of concentration and fierceness. I couldn't even react to turn on my GoPro camera on my helmet. I was stunned at what I saw. Several minutes of stunned, scared silence, I heard Travis coming down the hill on a snowmobile. After telling him what happened, we went over and looked for his prints. It was disappointing because the heavy snow had already covered up most of the tracks. Travis said it looked like tracks from my snowboarding boots, and I'm pretty sure he doesn't believe me. I know what I saw. It was Bigfoot. I had to tell someone who might believe me. So I'm writing here to you on this Bigfoot forum. That was from Jake, Portland, Oregon.
Dang, that was a good one.
Yeah, I like that one.
Because that one was out there in the snow.
Yeah.
Middle of nowhere.
If you try and run, it's getting you.
Yeah.
Would it be awesome if, like, he jumped on his snowboard, but then, like, the Bigfoot had, like, his own that he had made for, like, the bark of a tree. You look behind you, and he's just, you know, doing all, like, these jumping up and grabbing the side of its board. And beast mode.
That would be beast. I was snowboarding with Sasquatch.
Mm-hmm. Why not?
Well, let me check this one out. August of 1979 in Allegheny, California, from the name of S. Finn.
Ooh.
I was camping outside of Allegheny, California, a place that my family and I regularly went camping during the summers. My friend and I were sleeping outside in the stars, and I woke up in the middle of the night to a very large, hairy beast standing above us, bent over, looking at us.
God.
I saw this creature from about 3.5 to 4 feet away. It was standing directly above me. It stood above us for what seemed like 2 to 3 minutes. It walked around our camp, disturbed the meat from a snake we had killed that day. A man can walk through one camp and then walk down the road and out of the area. It was not a campsite. We spoke with two girls who lived in the little town of Forest, California, and they said they were aware of this creature that many people in this little area had seen or heard things of. Eric was my friend who was with me, spent the next 2 weeks looking for this creature. We believe we found a mine shaft that was being used by something. By the depressions in the ground outside of the mine shaft and the lack of any medium to large size branches in that area on the ground, it looked kind of suspicious. I was glad to go back today.
Wow. That's pretty crazy.
Yeah, man. If you wake up and you see something right above you like that,
yeah,
that'll mess you up.
Big time. Well, yeah, so We've gone through from the beginning, given descriptions of these Bigfoot. We've given encounters of people and their stories thereof. And I think now would be a good time to, you know, if you've ever encountered a Bigfoot, or, you know, if you spend a lot of times in the woods and you think you might encounter one, we're going to give you some Bigfoot survival tips.
How to survive a run-in with a Bigfoot.
Yeah, this will be for your own safety. If you happen to encounter a Bigfoot in the wild, it is important that you follow specific guidelines. Acting the wrong way, saying the wrong phrase, or even thinking the wrong thing can get you ripped to shreds in a matter of seconds. Here are a few things to remember when traveling in Bigfoot country. How to avoid a Bigfoot altogether. Don't travel in Bigfoot territory. This is just first and foremost an obvious tip. If you're scared of Bigfoot and don't want any chance of seeing him, stay out of the wilderness areas such as the Pacific Northwest, Northern Canada, and etc. Don't travel in fertile forest areas populated by wildlife and few humans. Better yet, stay indoors with the shades drawn, lights off, and in the fetal position.
That's how you avoid a Bigfoot altogether.
That's right.
Well, listen, if you find that you are in Bigfoot country, just remember, Bigfoot is territorial, but usually won't attack unless provoked. He mostly lives in remote areas, away from humans as much as possible, where food is plentiful and there are few threats. However, if provoked, Bigfoot may confront you in an intrusively personal way.
And you don't want to know what that is.
Don't overhunt the area. Bigfoot relies on local meat such as deer and fish to survive. If you're mindlessly shooting up the wildlife or catching more fish than you can eat, Bigfoot might have a problem with you. Don't destroy his habitat and he won't destroy your face.
That's a good tip. Now, if you're going to be camping or spending any time in these areas that you probably shouldn't be, avoid leaving raw meat out. He can't resist the smell of raw or rotting flesh. He is attracted to the smell of blood and can smell it from miles away. Don't draw unneeded attention to yourself, playing loud music, shooting your guns off in the middle of the night, or revving your 1995 Dodge Neon engine to impress your friends, are all the things that might enrage Bigfoot. In other words, don't be a jerk. And just because you're in the woods, respect nature and Bigfoot's neighborhood. If you follow these guidelines, you have a good chance of avoiding Bigfoot and his fury altogether. However, there is a chance even the most prepared and cautious person cannot avoid meeting Bigfoot.
If you have already provoked Bigfoot and he has confronted you,
ooh,
offer him food.
Awesome.
That gives you the highest rate of a chance of survival. That gives you an 80% chance of survival.
And when you offer him food, other than yourself, of course.
His favorite foods include meat, fish, Kit Kat bars.
Look, there's a dash.
And berries. The average human being looks very appetizing to a carnivore, so you need to sell how tasty your spare food is and how gross and nasty tasting you are. One idea is to lick your arm and make a disgusting pukey face. Then for the bait food, perhaps take a little bite and rub your tummy and smile. Set it down and then back away. When he is thoroughly distracted with your food, slip away. Remember, if he really likes the food you offer him, he might try to find some more of it, which is probably in your stomach. So, you get the picture.
Definitely. Okay. Now, if you want a 60% chance of survival, be funny. It is well known that Bigfoot has a sense of humor. Even if it is a very, very simple and obvious sense of humor, if you can entertain him, he might let you live a bit longer. Try tactics such as punching yourself in the face, grabbing a quarter from behind your ear, or telling some Larry the Cable Guy jokes. He will easily be amused by the same type of joke for quite some time. So as long as you keep doing what you're doing, you should be fine. But remember, if he gets bored, doesn't understand, or hates Larry the Cable Guy, He'll rip you to shreds. Endurance is key.
That's a good one. I didn't realize they had a sense of humor.
I didn't either.
Now, we're getting down the line, so if you want a 35% chance of survival, act crazy.
Yeah!
Whether it be playing the air guitar to death metal, prancing around on all fours and kicking like a wild mule, acting like you have a million red ants crawling all over you, or trying to explain why Creed was popular at one point, just do something really, really confusing or mind-boggling. The hope is that Bigfoot will be so puzzled that he simply leaves you alone. Only use this as a last-ditch effort, because there is a chance Bigfoot will decide to kill you anyway, because he doesn't like being confused. Remember, never, ever getting a dance off with a Bigfoot, because you will lose.
Very good tip to know. I remember Creed, too. Now, chances of survival, 20%. Run.
Oh, that sounds like a horrible idea.
I hope you're wearing running shoes and have been training for the Olympics recently. Bigfoot has been known to run up to 35 miles per hour in an open space. One thing you do have going for you is that you're most likely going to be in a densely forested area. Bigfoot is not very agile in regards to zigzagging through the trees. He's more of a straightforward runner who can burst through small branches and trees. So if you can avoid open spaces, run in a non-linear fashion through a dense forest, and happen to be a world-class sprinter, you have a chance. Remember, don't look back. Everyone knows this is exactly when you unexpectedly run into a tree branch or Bigfoot's left forearm.
He's going to clothesline you.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you could always play dead. They say that works for bears, but with a Sasquatch, you only have a 15% chance of survival. Lay in the fetal position and pray with all your heart that Bigfoot's going to leave you alone. Odds are, he's going to drag you home and give you his offspring to use like a rag doll to play house with for the rest of your short little life.
Well, and if that fails, you're going to be down to a 10% chance of survival. If you don't know what else to do, rush him. The idea behind this tactic is that perhaps Bigfoot will be startled by your sudden attack and run away. However, odds are that if he has already confronted you, he isn't too scared, and he isn't going to be backing down. Also, he probably outweighs you by 500 pounds and isn't intimidated by your bony little behind. One hairy right hook and a snap neck later, and you might regret this decision, but at least you're going down with a fight.
Yeah, go down with a fight.
Definitely.
Well, your last chance of survival is at a 3% rate, and that is just to simply cry.
Wow.
Bigfoot doesn't understand tears. He will clobber your face just to shut you up.
So, unless you encounter a really sensitive Squatch, which only, I guess, 3% have, and you're not going to rush him, you're not going to give him some food, you're not going to run
from him,
just start crying. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that has been our information for you on Bigfoot / Sasquatch.
I hope you enjoyed it. I hope if you were taking a drive there, you didn't close your eyes for too long.
No, but I hope that you have a better understanding of what you should be doing, where you should be heading, where to avoid, and where to be. But always be on the lookout for a Squatch.
And if you see one, you got to let us know.
Yeah, definitely. If you got some pictures, we want to see them. And then we want to have you come in the studio and tell your story. And if you'll let us, we'll put the pictures up on our Facebook page. And, you know, we'll make you famous for about an hour.
Yeah, all our listeners.
That's right. And, yeah, I enjoyed tonight. I thought it was fun. It was a little lighthearted, but it was a very a lot of intellectual facts about Bigfoot.
Hey man, you never know. We could be coming back here this time next year, and we could be telling stories about sites.
I hope so. That would be great. I mean, I would love to give firsthand events on just about everything that we talk about here on Subtle Beast, because you know, even though we talk lighthearted about it sometimes, it doesn't mean that you know, we're not fully on board and believe in everything that we discuss, because we usually do. So
yeah, it seems like most of those are March sightings.
Yeah, so March, you know, beware. You know, if you're up in Canada or, you know, Washington State or California. Or
Oregon.
Yeah. And if you got your dog with you,
pick it up.
Yeah. Or keep it on a leash that you can just yank him back. But, yeah, have some berries, not bananas, if you're going to be backpacking. And
you know, it seemed like berries was the most popular thing for Bigfoot.
I would see, probably, you know, because he sees probably a lot of wild strawberries, especially in this neck of the wood.
Yeah.
A lot of the woodchucks around here like them. But yeah, so I had fun. I hope you did too, Steve.
You know, we didn't hear anything about... Because when you're tracking a deer or a bear, you can always see like the little deer pellets.
Yeah, we didn't hear about any scat.
Yeah, that would probably be pretty big. It'd probably be like a big Bigfoot turd.
Yeah, I mean, 8 foot tall, 500 pounds. We're talking about something the size of like Andre the Giant.
Yeah, man.
So that would be some scat to definitely at least take a picture of.
Well, yeah, that's about all I got on them.
That's all I got, too. So, hey, go out to our Facebook page, share your experiences or stories with Bigfoot, and hope you had fun tonight. But until the next time, I'm Foltz.
And I'm Steve.
And we'll see you next time. Take care of one another. Bye-bye.